Pod Vader does surprise us often.
Every once in a while.
By the way, are there any fantasy zombies coming up? Because there should be, if not.
Hold on. Let me look down my list here. Yes, there is a fantasy zombie coming up.
You're in the 06010 Focus. Fantasy. The most popular fantasy podcast show.
Listening to that theme song, Matthew, the Fantasy Focus theme song.
Yes, the 06010.
Brett in Atlanta says, go Comets. He says, I find that when I play international recording star Eric Hutchinson's Fantasy
Superstar.
Focus...
Superstar.
I know. He got that wrong. I'm glad you picked up on that, because I was going to say something about it.
Thank you.
International recording superstar Eric Hutchinson's Fantasy Focus theme song. Backwards, it says, Matthew is dead, man, and don't pay for saves. Spooky. Have you ever tried to do that?
I haven't. We'll have to take his word for it. You know, it's weird. It's funny because you and I, of course, always get accused of old jokes.
Right.
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 And I like that our listeners are now going 20 years past us.
They
for crazy old jokes. For most of our listeners who have no idea what that reference is, there was a rumor going around that when you played one of the Beatles records on a phonograph, which most of you probably don't even know what that is. But you used to play them on album. See, do you understand how old this joke is?
It's pretty old.
It's just like, so yeah.
I mean, listen.
iPods, there were CDs. Before CDs, there were something called cassette tapes. And before cassette tapes, there was these things called albums.
That you skipped 8-tracks.
Oh, sorry. There were these 8-tracks. And before 8-tracks, there were these albums. Like, they were like plates. Okay. Yeah. And you put them on turntables, which are these things that went around, and that's how we played music. Yeah. Okay?
People are still familiar with turntables from rap videos.
From rap videos, right. Okay.
So that's what turntables. Rap videos and hot nightclubs.
this just now intrigued me. Do you want to hear the Fantasy Focus theme song backwards right now?
Sure.
Here we go.
Why not? This guy's obviously making a bad joke, but...
Well, I mean, this is not a joke. This is literally the Fantasy Focus theme song backwards.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, you can't hear any.
It's still catchy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's the genius of Eric Hutchinson's work. But anyway, so supposedly when you played one of the Beatles albums, I forget which one it is. It might have been...
Helter Skelter, right?
It might have been Abbey Road. But anyway, when you played it back, supposedly...
Paul is dead.
There was this... that you heard Paul is dead, and then there was this widespread rumor. Remember, this is all before the internet.
Right.
That Paul McCartney was dead, and he hadn't been seen in public for a while, and...
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
Paul McCartney's still alive.
Paul McCartney's still alive. You and I, barely.
Maybe he wants to come on the show to talk about that. At this point, Matthew, I demand that we get a merry-go-round drop for the closer carousel.
No question.
The closer carousel.
Not bad.
Whoa. Hold on a minute. Let me put the old headphones on. I want to hear that again.
The closer carousel.
I like it.
Pod Vader does surprise us often.
Every once in a while.
By the way, are there any fantasy zombies coming up? Because there should be, if not.
Hold on. Let me look down my list here. Yes, there is a fantasy zombie coming up. So just hold your horses on that one, Pod Vader. All right. So, no. Are you just getting ready?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Matthew, so let's start with Mr. Trevor Hoffman, who comes in yesterday with a one-run lead in the ninth inning and promptly gives up a leadoff home run to Ryan Domet.
Yeah, I think his nickname should no longer be Hell's Bells, but just, oh, hell.
This prompted James Quintong and Eric Carabell and I and everybody who's in the office to say, I wonder if Trevor Hoffman's ever allowed two home runs to the same guy in the same season, which he has, but only once.
Yep.
And whether or not, you know, because... Ryan Domet homers off him in back-to-back games, which I think had never happened in his career.
Right.
Before.
And it has happened once. Who would it happen before? This is a good trivia question.
What's that?
You said it's happened once before.
In the same season. I don't remember who it is. They can go look it up.
Wait, why did you guys look it up if you're not going to bother doing...
I don't know. What we were looking at is Eric Carabel was making the case that Ronnie Cedeno is probably the worst player that Trevor Hoffman's ever given up a home run to. So we looked up everybody that he's given up a home run to. The next best candidate, Jeff Rabelais. Cut to a shot of Jeff Rabelais going, hey, come
on. What did I do? I'm just sitting here.
Listen, I was a pretty good fielder.
Right. It's pretty funny.
All right, Matthew. So the only thing Ken Maka will commit to right now is that Trevor Hoffman's getting today off.
Right. Well, no, but I've seen different reports.
Okay.
I've seen different reports, and I did see one report where Maka said something like, you know, who knows, we'll see, but maybe when we get towards the ninth inning, maybe I'll go somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah, so wouldn't say he's no
Hoffman's
longer the closer.
Getting today off.
Yes.
He has said that, apparently. So, I mean, yesterday, Carlos Villanueva pitches the sixth, Todd Coffey the seventh, LaTroy Hawkins the eighth, and they all actually got the job done.
Right. I tweeted this last night. I'm standing by it. Okay. I'm not saying it's necessarily the correct call, but that I believe the next non-Trevor Hoffman save opportunity for the Brewers goes to LaTroy Hawkins.
Based on manager's short-term memories and that he pitched well last night, I think he had two strikeouts. I think you're probably right.
He's been pitching the eighth inning the most of their relievers. He's the guy with the most saves.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, just for those that are in like crazy deep NL only leagues, Chris Smith is their closer at AAA. He's got like 8 or 9 saves so far this year. He's been terrific. Pitched reasonably well last year in the majors. He's like a 29-year-old journeyman. And then they've got a guy in Double A, Matthew. I'm going to look him up right now because he's actually, it's amazing that we have to even talk about this, but I think we do, right?
It seems like he's done. From what I've read, Trevor Hoffman, Hoffman never threw fast, right? And from what I've read, and I haven't seen any of these appearances other than, you know, the highlights or whatever, right? But from what I've read, it seems like he just can't get his changeup going. That was always his out pitch. That was always, Hoffman was always known for that, you know, money change. Yep. And it's just, not working these
days. Listen, Keith Law, ESPN insider Keith Law, actually thought this was going to happen last year. Going into the 2009 season, he was like, listen, he's just, you know, he's done. He's got his stuff's not there anymore at the end of last year. And obviously, Trevor reached back and found something for one more year. But this is basically exactly what Keith thought was going to happen last year. Lots of home runs.
Right.
Which he's given up, what, 6 already?
Something like that.
The guy in AA, by the way, is Brandon Kinsler. 9 strikeouts, no walks so far in 7 2/3. So, again, now you're talking about like 7 deep. But if you're in deep NL-only leagues, you want to take some flyers. Those are some guys.
Right.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Octavio Dotel says not to be outdone.
That's right.
I can blow saves with the best of them, Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah, exactly. Octavio Dotel is like, you know what, Matthew Berry? I see your Pittsburgh hate.
Yeah.
And I one-up you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
It's his second blown save. His ERA is now over 10.
It's not good. I think he gets at least one more chance.
I agree.
I have Brendan Donnelly as my Octavio Dotel handcuff in our 20-team league.
How are you feeling about that?
Not great. He's been the guy that's gotten the most eighth inning work.
Yeah.
Again, same sort of thing. Like, he's the guy that's been in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And other than his blow up the other day in a non-save situation, he's actually pitched fairly well this year.
Nah, not so much.
He's Brendan Donnelly. None of them. The one guy that's pitched the best in the Pirates bullpen is Evan Meek.
Yeah, by far.
Who's got a 0.64 ERA.
He's got 14 strikeouts, only 4 walks, and 14 innings this year. So.
Yeah. Evan Meek's been fantastic, but he's been mostly like a, you know, sixth inning guy.
That'd be the guy I'd speculate on right now. Hanrahan's been awful, too.
Hanrahan's been awful, but he's another guy that's also got, you know, closing experience.
Right.
But he's been bad.
Right. Again, he's another guy that was only bad one game, but he was spectacularly bad in that game.
Correct.
So.
So it's hard to say. Listen, I put my money where my mouth is. I think Meek's probably the best pitcher. He certainly pitched the best this year, but my guess is that if they removed Otel, Donnelly would be the next guy.
Staying on the closer carousel, Matthew. So after saying yesterday, ESPNDallas.com, we had a video clip of this up. Ron Washington's, you know, he was asked about the closer, and he was just like, hey, it was just Frankie's night. It was Frankie's night. And they're like, is Neftali Feliz going to be ready to pitch tomorrow? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And Neftali Feliz comes out and gets the save, an ugly save, Matthew.
Well, and I don't know if you, how much you saw this. I didn't see any of this. I watched on Baseball Tonight last night. So, yeah, gives up two earned runs. And
three
by
hits.
The way, if,
And three hits.
Three hits, yeah, two earned runs. He came in with a three-run lead.
Yep.
Gives up two runs. And in fact, Juan Pierre had the tying run at third, I believe. And okay. If Juan Pierre beats out an infield single, mm-hmm. and it was like a bang-bang play at first place that could have gone either way.
Right.
They showed it. It was really close.
Yeah.
And they ended up calling Pierre out. But if Pierre beats that out, it's a blown save.
Right. Bottom line, you want Frank Francisco or Neftali Feliz the rest of the year?
I want Feliz because I think he's got the higher skill set.
See, I don't. I think he might have the more electric stuff. I don't think he has the higher skill set. Two very different things.
Okay.
So, I think Francisco is the one that has demonstrated better skills to this point at the big league level.
Well, he's certainly been in the big leagues a lot longer.
I don't know. I don't think Feliz has been all that
impressive. Trust either guy at this moment.
I've seen so many of these Neftali Feliz types the last several years, from Jabba Chamberlain and, you know, all the way back to, like, Jesus Colome. And, yeah, I just went there. I just went to Jesus
Well, we
Colome.
Did a Paul is dead joke, so why not?
But, he's got electric stuff. Big deal. You know? I don't know. I'm not impressed as of yet.
Well, why would you be? The ERA's in the double digits, I think, now.
But I mean, he has...
Both have been bad this year.
He has not walked guys. I will give him that. Walks have not been his problem. So.
Right. He's striking guys out. To me, my feeling on Feliz is that, this is why I said this, that I don't think Francisco's built for a middle-inning role.
Right.
That I think if Francisco's not the closer, I don't think he has value. I think Feliz could still have value as a middle reliever guy. As a guy that pitches multiple innings, pitches the seventh and eighth.
I get what you're saying.
Right.
Don't agree with it, but I get what you're saying.
All right.
Staying on the carousel, Matthew. So I was watching the Yankees-Orioles game last night.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Yes Network, apologies, I don't remember who this was. The announcer.
Network dropper.
Announcer said that Dave Tremblay actually was talking about giving Alfredo Simon a chance here. And it's Simon. I thought it was Simon.
I thought it was Simon, too. Okay.
Alfredo Simon a chance. So, I mean, who knows?
Who knows, too? Simone is not very good, by the way. I mean, he's a little bit of a journeyman. He's a little bit of a journeyman. He does pitch, in the high, I think, the high 90s.
Okay.
I think I heard 97.
Yeah.
But from what I've read, doesn't seem like he has a ton of movement on it, and most scouts seem to be not that impressed with him.
Okay.
Now, by the way, the Antonio Alfonseca rule states that you don't actually have to be any good to get major league saves.
Right.
You just need the job.
Right.
I don't know. The Baltimore situation is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all right.
I don't know.
Well,
all I know is that Jim Johnson's just been bad.
For me, the final thing on the carousel.
I mean, would you take a shot on Simone?
Yeah.
Would you?
If I was desperate for saves? Yeah. I mean, I would take him over Brendan Donnelly.
Yeah, that's
you know what
fair.
I mean? Even if I had Dotel, I would drop Brendan Donnelly for Alfredo Simon. I would drop a lot of, shaky backup closer types.
Right.
For
well,
Simon.
I mean, because Simon potentially has the job. Donnelly doesn't have the job unless
right.
they remove Dotel.
Right.
As of right now, Trevor Hoffman and Octavio Dotel are the closers of their teams.
Correct. I'm just saying, I would drop him over some other, number
right.
twos that look shaky. Brandon Lyon,
yeah,
Brandon Donnelly, anybody on Colorado. I would take a chance on him right now.
I think that's fair. I agree
with
that.
Juan Gutierrez gets a save for the Diamondbacks last night. And this wasn't like a Qualls had pitched the last couple of games. He'd had the previous day off.
Yeah. Interesting. You know. Gutierrez has been brutal. Now, this is a guy that got some saves last year, at the end of last year, and was a trendy kind of deep sleeper pick. Yeah.
That whole bullpen.
I have him in my NL only league.
That whole bullpen's been brutal.
Yeah.
So, they're saying they're not panicking right now. Josh Burns is saying we're not panicking. So I think Chad Qualls gets the next save chance.
Right.
But I do think he's a little, he came into the year seeming to have pretty good security. Not so sure he does anymore.
I don't think so either. Remember, he came off of, what was it, knee surgery,
I believe? I believe that's true, yeah.
So who knows? Maybe he's not 100% healthy still. By the way, and then Brian Wilson blows a save too, but not worried about him.
Yeah. Podfader, get ready. Matthew, every once in a while we get something right.
Every once in a while.
You know, yesterday.
Once in a blue moon.
Yesterday we're talking about, hey, we gotta at least mention Justin Morneau's back thing because
right.
Kadire could go to first, open up a lot of playing time for Jim Tome. Fantasy zombie Jim Tome.
Fantasy zombie.
I like it. It sounds like, it almost sounds like skin is falling off of him or something at the end.
And the most important thing, Matthew, is we are slowly but surely approaching the day when this entire podcast is dropped and we don't have to show up. I mean, literally not show up.
I was just going to say, how would anyone be able to tell if you and I didn't show up?
Anyway, Matthew, the fourth home run for Jim Tome this year.
Yeah.
And Morneau's out till at least Friday. You know, this might just be a short-term thing.
Well, speaking of someone who doesn't have Morneau in any leagues, but does have Jim Tome in
really?
My deep AL only.
Yeah.
Stay out, Justin. Take your time.
Matthew, a couple of other...
But by the way, I mean, in that particular start, a couple of things. Number one is your John Danks, Max Scherzer board bet. You got a little bit more of a lead there.
Yeah.
Max did not pitch well.
Yeah.
Scott Baker continuing to struggle. You remember that, and, you know, I don't know that.
Yeah.
He started slow last year too, but I wasn't a huge Baker guy this year.
Yeah, you were not. You didn't like any of the Twins pitchers except
correct.
For Liriano. You were
correct.
You were on the record with that. I'm glad it's looking bad for me either way, but I'm glad I took Kevin Slowey and not Scott Baker in our head-to-head wager there.
Right. Yes. It's looking better with Slowey than it is with Baker.
Matthew, Jorge Posada takes a pitch off the knee yesterday. He does stay in the game long enough to score, but he's going to sit out, it looks like, at least a couple of games. So heads up for daily transaction leagues. Our boy Adam Rosales, Matthew.
Yeah, keeps hitting.
Home run yesterday, 5-game hit streak, hitting .327.
I don't know how they pull him out of the lineup when Ellis comes back. I don't think so either. I mean, I think you've got, you know, Eric Chavez and Derek Barton, and I think you've got, like, lots of guys where you're like, you know what? I think Adam Rosales is an upgrade there.
Well, I mean, Barton's doing well. I mean, he's got that weird, you know, slugging percentage below his on-base percentage. But, I mean, you know, he's hitting .300, .451 on base. You know, the extra base hits hasn't been there. But he's probably been their best hitter, actually.
He's been fine, but nothing, like, I don't know. I feel like if it came down to the two of them, I agree Chavez would be I don't know.
Derek Barton's not coming out of the lineup. You don't take guys... Billy Bean team's not taking
That's
a guy
fair.
With a
Actually,
450 on base percentage
you're right,
out
right.
of lineup.
You're right on that one.
The other guy's Kevin Kuzmanoff.
A Billy Bean run team, you're right.
The other
you're
guy's right Kevin on. Kuzmanoff. Because Cliff Pennington's the other guy, is playing well. Kevin Kuzmanoff, the third baseman, not playing well.
No.
Kuzmanoff, Chavez. Listen, Jake Fox, who got his fifth game at catcher yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Still isn't hitting, though.
No.
Like, this whole, like, it'd be great if Jake Fox got catcher eligibility thing is sort of predicated on him hitting a little bit. Matthew, a couple starters to talk about real quick here. Jaime Garcia, seven scoreless.
Funny.
We've obviously talked about him, but maybe not enough because he's only 10% owned.
I like him a lot. I mean, he was in some preseason stuff that I did. And, you know, I did my for real, not for real column like a while ago. And he was one of those, yes, I'm all in on Jaime Garcia. I've talked about him on the Fantasy Focus video show. This guy was an elite prospect and then had surgery. That was the, you know.
Yeah.
So, and now he's back.
Elite is strong, but he was a very good, he was a top prospect in a mediocre farm system.
Fair enough.
Like he was like a ranked top three in the Cardinals when the Cardinals were like okay.
Right. So,
by the way, and that's just, you know, I just want to make that point because a lot of times you'll see like, well, this guy was the number three ranked prospect compared to some other team's number seven. Well, some teams' farm systems are much, much better.
That's true.
Some teams' 10 are better than other teams' 1. So just...
Yes.
But Garcia was a very good prospect. I just wanted to make that point.
No, fair enough. But anyway, so came back, pitched some in the minors last year, been injured most of last year, but came
All
back,
right.
pitched some of minors last year, but was money in the preseason and in spring training. He was just fantastic. And, you know, listen, Duncan's done a lot more with less.
Let's play a name game.
Okay.
Today is Bookie Bob's day.
Oh, there you go.
The name.
DJ Pod once again taking requests.
You didn't read the full note.
I'll screw this up.
Barry's boy Jason Hamill. Jason Bay.
He's extra crispy.
Our friend Glenn.
You jerk. I refuse your criticism here.
Carlos Pena. The commander of awesome. Brandon Inge.
He's leaving the building.
I love the commander of awesome.
The commander of awesome,
I forgot
yeah.
about that.
Keep that one in the rotation.
The guy
I like that
dubbed
one.
Himself the Commander of
Good
Awesome.
Good for you, Bookie Bob. That was a nice one.
Matthew,
keep that in the rotation.
I'm bringing the big names here with Jaime Garcia.
Okay.
Jaime Garcia or Rich Harden?
Garcia.
Another
game last night. You know, the thing with Harden is like, he's not striking guys out this year.
Yeah,
he's not striking guys out, and he's not going deep into games.
He is striking guys out. He's at about a strikeout per inning, which is actually below Rich Harden level. It's
right,
like,
exactly.
It's
that's
elite for everybody else, but it's actually below.
When I say he's not striking guys out, that's what I mean.
Right.
Obviously, he is compared to Joel Piñeiro.
Well, compared to other top starters, he is.
Right.
He's probably in the top 15 in strikeouts per nine. He's just normally one by far.
Right. And by the way, the other thing is like, as you say, one per inning. The problem is he's only going basically five innings a start.
Exactly. Not even, actually. Five starts, 23 and two thirds. He's got 23 walks in that frame. But he's like 93% on.
Right.
Drop Rich Harden for Jaime Garcia.
Yes, that is what I would say.
What about your boy Max Scherzer?
No, I still believe in Scherzer.
I would go with Garcia there.
Oh, but I think it's close.
Garcia or the Buzzsaw?
I'm not high on Billingsley. I would actually say Garcia.
I'm like, for me, it's like Scherzer. I'm sticking with Billingsley there. Too much strikeout upside. Hasn't pitched. You know, he's been bad, but he hasn't been like Rich Harden bad. I mean, you know, so. But those are some big names there, Matthew.
Right.
Those are all guys that were top 40 starting pitcher picks coming into the season.
Correct.
And we like Garcia better than some or all of them. Nice start for Mike Leake yesterday. 7 innings, 5 strikeouts.
I was hoping
walks.
That was the next guy you were going to bring up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, you know.
How much stock do you put in it? To me, he's still NL only.
Yeah, or deeper league spot start guy. You know, you don't love a guy pitching in Cincinnati.
Right.
But I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. Talented pitcher.
Yeah.
Ace of that staff.
Speaking of, aces of staffs, Chris Tillman throws a no-hitter at AAA yesterday. The Orioles actually do need a starter coming up. It's not clear if he'll get the call. And he hadn't actually pitched all that well before this start. But,
no.
You know, there's a guy.
There's a guy
for a little later in the season.
Right. I mean, Tillman is a guy that, people have expected high things from.
Yeah.
Name out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Brr.
Hey, by the way, one other starter just real quickly to keep an eye on for deeper leagues.
Yeah.
Brett Cecil, another good start last night.
Lost
to the Red Sox, got outdueled by John Lester, finally back, thank you. But Cecil's a guy that I've always sort of liked, been a strikeout guy. Good numbers in the minors
right.
in his career. Came up last year, was sort of up and down. But anyway, Cecil's just a guy that I think is kind of interesting for deeper leagues.
Fair enough.
Keep an eye on.
Chris in Hoboken, New Jersey says, you claim to have Rocky Mountain bias? Ha! How could neither of you mention Dexter Fowler? He's been red hot out of the two hole and showed promise last year as a rookie. Do you think he keeps getting regular at bats even after Hop comes back?
You love Dexter Fowler. You have him on your NFBC team.
Yeah, I've got him on my labor team, NFBC team. We were just waiting for him to have the 3 hits yesterday to bring him up.
Right, exactly.
Because now Matthew has 10 hits in his last 5 games. He's 66% owned in ESPN.com leagues. He was playing before Hop went out. I mean, he wasn't playing every day, but he was playing,
than Seth Smith.
Yeah, he was playing 4 out of 6 games, something
right.
like that. So I like Fowler a lot. He was a guy that early in the year, just like nothing was falling in for him, like that. You know, talk about like batting average on balls in play.
Right,
he was at like in like the 240 range. I like him a lot. I think he steals 40 bases this year.
Wow.
And that's a really good lineup too, by the way.
It is. By the way, speaking of the Rockies, as long as we're talking about the Rockies, did you see who started in the outfield for him yesterday?
Eric Young.
Eric Young Jr.
Yeah.
Little EY Jr. I mean, so the interesting thing to me, the reason I bring that up is they want to get him into the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a column coming out later today on ESPN.com, a little just saying.
Okay.
And one of the things I did was I printed Eric Young Jr.'s stolen base totals from the last 4 years in the minors.
Right.
And I think the lowest number was 46.
Yeah.
He had 180 steal season, 170 steal season, a 58 steal, and a 46. I mean,
and the interesting thing was they played Melvin Moore at second.
Yeah.
So, like, Clint Barmus in anything but NL only is more or less, I mean, certainly you want Eric Young over Clint Barmus.
No question.
No question there. So, and Moore has been great this year. So I think Great is strong. He's been solid this year.
I have Mora for $1 in an NL only league, and I've been very
great
happy.
Great buy. And Young has batted leadoff, and we mentioned this yesterday. They had talked about it'd be great to get Carlos Gonzalez into the middle of the order. He'd been batting leadoff. So, Young in the first spot, Fowler two, then Helton, Tulowitzki, Cargo.
They really
like that lineup. So, and then of course you got Ian Stewart lower in the order and Miguel Olivo. So, he says, would I be crazy for benching Ibanez for Fowler? Absolutely not.
No.
Ibanez turned things around a little bit.
Yeah. Depends what you need. They're different players.
Yeah, absolutely. He says, P.S. Nate, anyone that emails in and can't understand the lyrics to international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson theme song is an idiot, and you owe them no apology whatsoever. Those people are idiots.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Did I call people idiots for not knowing the lyrics?
You just call people idiots generally. Okay. You basically think anyone who isn't you is an idiot.
This is factually correct.
Right. By the way, how are we doing? Anyone know how we're doing on our quest to get a Major League Baseball player to use the Fantasy Focus theme song as their walk-up music?
I think there's an email somewhere in here about that.
We've got a few emails about people trying but failing.
Yeah.
But we also have, a professional in Germany used it.
Yeah.
There's an announcer in the Ukraine or Georgia. I don't know. One of those former
Russian
states.
He also says, Matthew, the PPS from Chris. The rarely seen PPS.
Oh, okay.
He says, not one word about Jose Reyes batting third or that he's healthy while Jimmy Rollins is on the DL. Well, it doesn't really matter that he's batting third.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say? He's going to drive in more runs? Maybe he's going to drive in a couple more runs. But not with Angel Pagan and Alex Cora hitting in front of him, which is what was there last night. And remember, Tristan Cockcroft had a piece last year about lineup spot does not affect stolen base frequency. So you think he's going to run less, he might run less, but because of his hamstrings, but it won't be because of the lineup spot.
Right.
Now, the fact that he stayed healthy to this point.
It's a good sign. I remember when it was announced that he was, I did this on the Fantasy Focus video show, and I remember Molly asked me, she said, hey, so the announcement has come out that they're going to start batting Jose Reyes third. What do you think? And my basic thing, to try to jumpstart the Mets offense. And I was like, how about jumpstarting Jose Reyes's offense before we worry about the Mets? Because at the time, he was hitting 225.
It's great that he's healthy. He's hitting 240. Right. No home runs, 5 RBIs, 12 runs, 4 steals. So he's been okay. He's on pace for 35 steals. He's on pace to score 100 runs. But he's not
Jose Reyes in capital letters.
Exactly. He's like a poor man's Jason Bartlett right now. He's Jason Bartlett without the batting average. So you know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Right, exactly.
And I've watched.
He hasn't been as good as Rafael Furcal.
Watched a bunch of Mets games. I'm not optimistic he's going to be Jose Reyes this year. You know what I mean?
I do indeed.
If you had to bet right now, is Jose Reyes a top 10 shortstop at the end of the year?
I would say no. I'd give you top 12.
But yeah, I mean, he's top probably 10. Right around there. And,
let me put it this way. I definitely wouldn't say top 8.
And
if he squeaked in at 9 or 10, I wouldn't be shocked.
I agree. And if you could guarantee me 550 at bats right now, I'd still say probably not a top 5 shortstop.
Yes.
So, Eric in Oak Ridge, New Jersey says, go Scarlet Knights. This morning on Mike and Mike.
I can only assume he means Rutgers.
Yeah. This morning on Mike and Mike, Tim Kirchin predicted that Steven Strasburg's first start would be June 8th, a home start against the Pirates. How do you feel about the board wager now? Looks like Matthew has the advantage. Well, Aroldis Chapman yesterday threw what, like 5 good innings?
Yeah,
six innings at AAA. Louisville gets a no decision. Walk 2, struck out 4. I don't feel great about it.
Right. One of the problems, though, is that Mike Leake, who beat out Chapman for that 5th spot, is pitching well. And I feel like they are determined to keep rolling Arroyo and Harang out there.
Well, and Harang pitched well in his last start.
Yeah, against the Astros. I don't know how much it counts. But he did. He did.
So, no, there's plenty of, Homer Bailey, there's plenty of guys they could pull for Aroldis Chapman. I don't feel great about it. He also says, noticing
that. I like you when you're nervous and Weasley.
I'm not nervous or Weasley. I just don't feel
you
great
always
about
are.
It.
Nature Weasley.
I'm not trying to revoke it from the board.
I know.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Matthew, because the rest of this email says, noticing a trend with the board wagers. In past years, Matthew would go with his gut and throw whatever he felt on the board. Now, if Nate gives a stance on a player, Matthew now tries to weasel every drop of a wager with Nate. Okay. I have to disagree with Governor Ventura and say Matthew is the weasel. There's no question that you've gone to this new strategy of trying to squeeze every last possible drop of a wager.
Right.
Well, if you're like, if you're like, Jose Reyes is going to hit 10 home runs this year, and I'm like, I think he's going to hit 25. You're like, will you take the over-under on 24? And I'm like, no, how about we split the difference? You have been doing that nonstop.
I don't know about nonstop. I've definitely done it some.
You
I'll
have
say
not
this.
Stopped.
Stop. Well, here's
Guess
the thing.
What? I'm not nice. I'm a bad boy.
The board was like fun and everything like that. And then you started like, coronavirus. I'm like, all right. Cause you would do that too. You've definitely done that just as much as I have.
Not true.
You totally did. You'll totally try to negotiate as well. So yeah, excuse me for taking this seriously. It's the one part of the podcast I take seriously. So sue me.
I'll try to negotiate into something equitable. Like I said, you try to take the extremes. Big T writes in, go Springfield Squids.
I like that.
And the subject line is party on, Matt. Party on, Nate. It's Matthew. Excellent. Party on Matthew.
Yes.
He prefers Matthew. Hey, Matthew, you and I were not...
But I like the reference. Be excellent to yourself.
You and I were not high on Grady Sizemore coming into the year.
That is correct.
He's hitting 192.
Yep.
8 RBIs, 9 runs, 2 steals, no home runs.
Yeah, he sucked.
So Big T says, quick question. 10-team mixed league, Grady Sizemore was just dropped in my league. As Cruz is now on the DL, that'd be Nelson Cruz, I need a little more depth in the outfield. Could you play the name game with these players I have, and if it's worth me dropping them for Sizemore? So would you drop Juan Pierre for Grady Sizemore?
No. I think it depends on what you need, obviously, but...
In a
vacuum, no. Juan Pierre's running, and by the way, not hitting.
Yep.
Just imagine when he's a career 300 hitter.
And I don't
think the batting average will come up.
And I don't think there's much threat to his job on that team.
Correct. That's a team that is running.
Alex Rios.
No, Rios is actually having a nice little start there.
Three homers, six steals, batting 270.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Franklin Gutierrez.
No. That's the one that I might think about.
This one's closer to me just because.
Yes, I agree.
Franklin Gutierrez, in a best case scenario, is a 2020 guy. I mean, like, he's not going to suddenly hit 30 home runs. He's not going to suddenly steal 30 bases.
I agree with you. He is playing well, though, right now.
That's true.
But I agree with you. It's much closer.
Jose Guillen. The on-fire Jose Guillen. Sort of a classic sell high, buy low to dump Guillen for Sizemore. I think I'd have to do that one.
I think so, too, although I wish you could, like, trade Guillen.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to... Here's what I would love this guy to do. Trade Guillen and Gutierrez to... You know, if there was a way to... I don't know if he can do it with the roster spots, but, like, if there was a way that he could claim Sizemore...
Right.
Trade Guillen and Gutierrez...
Right.
For a, you know, for a one player better.
Right,
you know,
right.
If there was a way to do it. But, yeah, I think I would... I'd rather have Grady Sizemore than Jose Guillen the rest of the year.
I mean, listen, if you want to look for the silver lining, Grady Sizemore's got a 246 batting average on balls in play this year. So that, you know, if that comes up to his career, you know, 300 or so, 310, he'll be better. He still won't be good.
Right.
He'll be like 230 or 240.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably taking him over Jose Guillen.
But, by the way, the fact that we're just having this discussion should tell you how far Grady's fallen. And, by the way, how right you and I were. Let's hear it for us, because Grady Sizemore was a fairly high draft pick. That's right. Jim Tomei, Grady Sizemore. We're on a roll.
Yeah, exactly. UConn Nate says, since I picked up Kevin Gregg after being told I would be an idiot for doing so.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did get that wrong.
Even you have to admit, I did not say that if you picked up Gregg, you were an idiot.
That's correct. You did not actually say that.
Having said that, UConn Nate, you can still consider yourself one of my idiots, one of my children.
Yeah.
Now that I have three closers, I'm thinking about offering a trade where I give up Gregg and Kelly Johnson in return for Dustin Pedroia. Do you think I should offer this trade or continue to enjoy the ride with Kelly Johnson?
Yeah, I'd do that.
I would offer up that trade. I don't think it will be accepted.
Right. But yeah, if you could get that deal done, I would do it.
What's up, Pod Vader? Wave bye-bye? Right now?
Well, if you're done with that conversation about...
We're done with that
Gregg,
conversation.
Kelly Johnson and Pedroia, then yes.
Okay. Pod Vader's got to get out of here early today.
I like how our fans suffer because of Pod Vader's...
Hey, you're already over
schedule.
30 minutes.
Oh, they suffered when we had to get out of here early on Wednesday, or Tuesday.
And you're over 30 minutes.
And they suffer every day, too.
They suffer every day from us.
Yeah.
Right.
So
what'd
you
say, Pod?
He says you're over 30 minutes.
You're over 30 minutes for today.
All right.
By the skin of our teeth.
Anyway, hey, I don't know if this will be posted in time, but I'm chatting at 3 p.m. Eastern today on ESPN.com.
Oh, it'll be posted in time.
All right. Well,
the podcast usually goes up on ESPN.com around like 11, Pod Vader.
No, this one, if I get it done, which I will be up by 10.
Yeah, but usually it's up by 11. Is actually, right, yeah, I don't know 11. What time it hits iTunes.
That's a good point.
What time does it hit iTunes?
Who knows? It hits our site first, which is obviously more important.
ESPN.com/podcenter.
Yeah, iTunes, there's a delay. I get tweets or emails about that.
Like, it's quicker if you subscribe.
Yeah.
It's definitely quicker on iTunes if you subscribe versus if you don't subscribe.
Correct.
So go ahead and subscribe.
It's better for us if you don't subscribe.
It's better for us if you don't subscribe?
Yeah.
How's that?
If you subscribe, our iTunes rating actually goes down.
We only care about our iTunes rating like twice a year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then fine. Subscribe all you want now.
What's better for the fans?
Well, that's a good point.
So we're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. You phoning it in tomorrow?
I actually was thinking about taking tomorrow off.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. You want to get somebody else in here?
Sure. Sure. We'll get somebody else in here.
There you go. So I'll
be back.
You want
Buster
Monday.
Or Tim?
What's that?
You want Buster or Tim?
Are they both available?
I don't know, but one of them's going to probably be on Baseball Today, so I'll get the other one for you.
That works.
There
done.
You go.
There done, you go. Done and done.
See, look at this. I'm doing a two win. It's a double win for our listeners. They don't have to hear me, and they get great baseball knowledge from Tim or Buster.
Do you want to get Buster and Tim, and I'll take the day off? We'll really help people out.
I don't know how that would work.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll find out.
Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.